This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك صلاة ربي وسلامه عليه عباد الله يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد All praise is due to Allah. We seek His guidance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whom He allows to be misled, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, having no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger and his perfect worshipper. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib had migrated to Abyssinia. And as you know, he famously was the one who gave the address to the Najashi, explaining to the king of Abyssinia why they had left their homelands and why they were being persecuted and the message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come with. Ja'far and that group stayed in Abyssinia for 11 years and they would not return back to the Arabian Peninsula until after the conquest of Khaybar in the 7th year. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina for 7 years before the Muslims came back from Abyssinia. And when they arrived, it was a big deal. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I don't know what I am more happy about, the conquest of Khaybar or بقدوم جعفر, or by the arrival of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin. Ja'far, who had sacrificed and left his homeland when the Sahaba were homesick from Medina, when they had migrated to Medina, you can imagine the homesickness of someone who migrated to another continent. And yet when Ja'far arrived, what was his role in the Muslim community after that great sacrifice that him and that community had offered? Did he retire? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately placed him in a position of leadership for the campaign of Mu'ta, where Ja'far radiallahu anhu would be martyred. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum went from one stage of worship and sacrifice to another stage of worship and sacrifice. They didn't put in work for 10 years, 15 years, and then retire from da'wah because I've already put in my time. I served in this capacity when I was in university. I served in this capacity in my 20s. I served in this capacity in my 30s. I served in this capacity in my 40s. And now I'm resting on my laurels and I become a consultant to Islamic work. I want to speak in this brief khutbah about serving the deen. It's as simple as that. What we learn from the companions and what we learn from the prophets of Allah in the Quran. We learn that serving the deen is a lifelong endeavor. It doesn't matter what stage a person is in. We see Nuh alayhi salam calling his people, فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was amongst his people for 1,000 years except for 50. 950 years he's calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that it was the role of prophets who were parents, no matter how righteous their children were, up until the last moment that they are alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Were you there when Ya'qub was approached by death? What did Ya'qub say to his children? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. What are you going to worship after me? Could you imagine a man who is a prophet, the son of a prophet, the grandson of a prophet, a father of a prophet, and yet still, as he's dying, he's asking his children, what are you going to worship after me? As if he didn't spend their entire lives teaching them what they should worship. And yet they still say, نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ. And then that same son, Yusuf alayhi salam, of Ya'qub, we learn that it is independent of your status in society. Yusuf alayhi salam is a prisoner. And yet when those two prisoners, fellow prisoners, come to Yusuf and they're asking him for the interpretation of a dream, what does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He says, Ya sahibay as-sijn, a'arbabun mutafarriquna khayrun am illahu al-wahid al-qahhar. He says, oh prisoners, they're coming to ask him for the interpretation of a dream. That's what they're there for. But Yusuf alayhi salam realizes in that moment that he has their attention because they need to hear his answer. So before he answers their question about the dream, what does he do? He gives them a speech telling them, are multiple gods better? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the alone, the overpowering? Yusuf is in prison, yet he's still giving da'wah. We learn in the Quran, we see that it is independent of a person's knowledge. You know, some of us, we might feel like, you know what, I would love to give da'wah, but I don't know enough. I would love to serve the deen, but isn't that the role of people who have studied for years and people who can give speeches? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact tells us about a people who had three messengers sent to them in Surah Yasin. Three messengers. Could you imagine if you had three messengers? Not if you had three scholars in a city, you'd feel like, ah, khalas, it's taken care of. Everything's taken care of. I got three big sheikhs, mashallah, tabarakallah. It sounds like click. There's nothing for me to do. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? He tells us of a place that has three messengers. And they're calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a man, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. A man came from the end of the city. What did he have to add to the conversation? He said, يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He said, oh my people, follow the messengers. تَبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Follow those who are not asking you for any payment and they're guided. If I have nothing else to add, I don't have any fiqh to add, I don't have any theology to add, I don't have anything to add other than to tell you, come and listen to this person. That's that person who's inviting. They come with their car full. When they come to an event, they don't come alone. They come with their car full and they're telling people and they're saying, come and listen, come and benefit. تَبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Everybody has something that they contribute. They can contribute to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody. And so the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, what am I doing to serve the deen? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. He says, narrate about me, even if it's a single verse. If all you know is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ حَدْ, then teach قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ حَدْ. Share that with somebody else. If all you know is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and I can teach it to somebody, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, then let me do that. But let every single one of us contribute to the preservation and the spreading of the deen of Allah. أَقُولُ مَا سِمِعْتُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallim sallim kathira. Not only do we see those who are everyday civilians contributing to the da'wah in the Qur'an, but we even see animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story in Surah An-Naml of a hudhud, a bird that comes to Sulaiman and says to him, أَحَطُّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينٍ. I recognize and I saw what you did not see. Saying to Sulaiman, someone who had control of the wind, had access to the jinn, and had a dominion the likes of which no one had ever seen or will ever have after him. And this bird comes to Sulaiman and says to him, I recognize and I saw what you did not see. What did you see? I saw that there was a community that is worshipping the sun and they are in need of da'wah. You know what? Maybe I have access to spaces and places that the community otherwise doesn't have access to. Maybe I go to the library and I see that, you know what, this library is in need. I'm looking and checking the section about Islam in the local library and I'm not happy with the books that I'm seeing. So let me come back. I don't have the resources necessarily to change it myself, like the bird didn't have that resources to change and give da'wah itself. But it came back to Sulaiman and said, hold on a second. I see a space, I see a place, I see a community that is in need of da'wah. And I see what you do not see. And so when you have people, an entire community that is looking for opportunities to give da'wah, when all of us keep an eye out for opportunities and places and moments where we can take advantage of, and even if I don't necessarily have the resources myself, but I come back and I say to the leadership of the community, I say, guys, this is an opportunity that we have. Can we take advantage of it? This is a resource that we have. This is a community that is being neglected, that is in our own backyard, that should be in our jurisdiction, that we should be giving da'wah to. That we act like the bird in Surah An-Naml. And so I want to end with what are a few practical examples, and I don't want to restrict to these practical examples because the examples are way too many. But I just want to make one point. There was a youth director that I met one time. He's a dosimetrist. So he works in healthcare. He's got a full-time job, a career. But he was a youth director in his community. And I asked him, I said, why do you do this as a volunteer? Why are you a youth director? It takes so much time. And he said to me something that I found to be profound. He said, you know, I have a daughter who's very young. And right now, I'm in a stage in her life where she's very close to me. And my word is like the dominant thing. Whatever Baba says, that's the truth. And he says, I hope I always have that great of a relationship with her. But I also know that likely, when young men and young women reach 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, those who they prioritize around them are not their parents anymore, but it's their friends. And so, because there might be a time when her friends are more influential on her than even her parents, I want to make sure that I'm influencing her friends. And that's why I am a youth director, so that inshallah ta'ala in the future, my daughter is protected by the community that I'm investing in. And so a few aspects here. Having concern for the ummah, having concern for the community. That's the first step. The second is sharing news of events and programs. Like I mentioned, that a person not just come by themselves to a program, but a person comes and brings people with them. commanding good and forbidding evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever of you sees an evil, then let them change it with their hand. And if they can't, then let them change it with their tongue. And if they can't, then let them change it with their heart. Engaging munkar when you see it. And interacting with people where they are. Giving da'wah where you are. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the majority of his da'wah was not on the minbar. The majority of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was interacting with people in everyday spaces. And so our da'wah cannot just be in formal settings all the time in the masjid. But while you're in a car with somebody, while you're shopping with somebody, while you're interacting with someone, wherever you are, that's the perfect time for you to remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to allow us to hear the speech and follow the best of it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل فأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا اللهم على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرة ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرة ربي ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرة اللهم ارحمك بأهلنا المستضعفين المنكوبين في كل مكان اللهم ارحمك بأهلنا في سوريا اللهم كن لهم معينا يوم قل المعين اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا اللهم ارحمك بأهلنا في فلسطين والسودان وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم زلزل عروش الطواغيت الظالمين وأذن بفرج قريب لعبادك الموحدين واشفي صدور قوم المؤمنين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمنا.